Welcome to another episode of the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law Landmark Cases podcast. Today, we will be discussing Kansas versus Hendricks, a pivotal case decided in 1997. This case clarified whether the Kansas Sexually Violent Predator Act violates the Constitution by allowing civil commitment based on a mental abnormality without violating due process, double jeopardy, or ex post facto protections. This case involves Leroy Hendricks, who was convicted of engaging in indecent liberties with two 13-year-old boys. As his prison term was ending, the state of Kansas sought his commitment under the Sexually Violent Predator Act, which allowed involuntary civil commitment of individuals deemed dangerous due to a mental abnormality or personality disorder. During his trial to determine whether he qualified as a sexually violent predator, Mr. Hendricks testified to a long history of abuse and acknowledged his diagnosis of pedophilia. While he expressed the hope not to offend children again, he stated that he could only guarantee not reoffending by dying. He was deemed a sexually violent predator and found to have a mental abnormality, qualifying him for confinement under the act. Mr. Hendricks challenged the act, claiming that it violated his constitutional rights, including due process under the 14th Amendment, double jeopardy protections against being punished twice for the same offense, and the prohibition against ex post facto laws that disallow retroactive punishment. The Kansas Supreme Court initially sided with Hendricks in validating the act because its definition of mental abnormality did not meet the substantive due process requirements of mental illness for civil commitment. However, the case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which reversed the decision in a 5-4 decision. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote for the majority and emphasized several key points. First, he emphasized that the act created a civil commitment process instead of criminal punishment, aiming to protect public safety and provide treatment. Procedural safeguards included annual reviews and chances for release based on mental health improvements. Second, the court dismissed the argument that the act's use of the term mental abnormality failed to meet due process requirements, as state legislatures have the discretion to define such terms for legal purposes, and there is no constitutional basis for specific definition of mental illness or related terminology. Mr. Hendricks' condition, pedophilia, met the criteria for a mental abnormality that hindered his ability to control his dangerous behavior. And third, the act focused on future dangerousness rather than punishment for past crimes, making it a legitimate civil measure. Because the commitment was non-punitive, issues of double jeopardy and ex post facto were not implicated. In a concurring opinion, Justice Kennedy warned of the potential misuse of such laws for retribution or deterrence. In dissent, Justice Breyer, joined by Justices Stephen, Souter, and Ginsburg, argued that the act was punitive, citing indefinite confinement and limited treatment blurred the line between civil and criminal measures. This case set a precedent for civil commitment of sexually violent predators, but raised concerns about balancing public safety with constitutional rights, especially when treatment options are scarce. Critics argue these laws risk eroding protections while supporters consider them necessary to prevent harm. This concludes today's episode of our Apple podcast, Kansas versus Hendricks. Thank you for listening and join us next time as we explore another landmark case.